Hello, welcome to the Women in Big Data podcast, where we talk about big data, analytics, and career topics. We do this to connect, engage, grow, and champion the success of women in big data.
I met Slavik, who is one of my colleagues, and we thought, okay, what's going to happen with our job? How is it going to evolve? And out of curiosity, we started interviewing people, imagining how the future of a tech role as a solutions architect is going to look like. And the outcome of those conversations is the book.
In this episode, we talk with Naya Ordunya about her book, The Solutions Architect of the Future, Conversations about the Tech Roles in Gen AI Times. She co-authored the book with Slavik Dimitrovic. Naya works at Amazon Web Services as technical leader, strategic accounts. She often shares her insights in the field of big data, AI, and the future of work. And she believes the world would be a better place if we all make the best use of our talents. Let's start. Naya, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you as our guest.
I'm super excited to be in your podcast today.
That's good to hear. You wrote a book, Naya, together with a co-author, Slavik Dimitrovic. It's about the solution architects of the future, conversations about tech roles in Gen AI times. Why is it important to have conversations about tech roles in Gen AI times, and particularly about the solution to architect's role?
Basically, we see that generative AI is transforming a lot of works because it's very creative. It can do a lot of things. And then I met Slavik, who is one of my colleagues, and we thought, okay, what's going to happen with our job? How is it going to evolve? And out of curiosity, we started interviewing people, imagining how the future of a tech role as a solutions architect is going to look like. And the outcome of those conversations is the book. And it's not only us who say that. So the World Economic Forum has this report, The Future of Jobs of 2023. And actually, it confirms that what's going to be a critical driver of business transformation is going to be technology. And the top skills that the companies are looking for include cloud computing, big data, AI, which are the skills that the solutions architects have. So then we thought, okay, let's see, because our job is going to be so much needed in the next years, let's see how it's going to be affected with Gen AI.
Okay. And can you tell us a bit more about the book? What's it about? What's in it?
It has first an introduction of what it is, a solutions architect role to start. We work at Amazon Web Services. We work in cloud computing area, and there are multiple roles. Solutions architect is one of them. Basically, a solutions architect is the technical advisor that talks to the customers and advise them like what kind of solution in the cloud they could build, right? We work very close with the customers, and we also very close with the service teams. The service teams are those that are creating the services that are for the customer. The services can be like around artificial intelligence. So the solutions architect, I see it like in between, is getting feedback from the customer to give that feedback to the service teams to shape the future of the services. And at the same time, we advise there. So we just listen always to the customer, what they want. We look for them, what is best, what is more cost efficient. And we also have other dimension of the role, that is we scale our knowledge. So it's very easy to find solutions architects in conference, in events, in meetups, because we want also to help to develop others.
And what makes your job as a solution architect unique?
So we are part of Amazon. We have our leadership principles. We are like very customer obsessed. We focus on hiring and developing others. We insist on the highest standards. One of the examples I took in the book is how we are customer obsessed, always trying putting ourselves on the shoes of the customer, not just going and trying to sell them something.
And I saw in the book you also interviewed some of your colleagues within AWS. So what did you learn from these interviews with them?
Oh, I learned a lot. We were asking questions about what can you do now and what do you think is going to change with generative AI? Because generative AI is very creative, right? Like it can be fed with a lot of solutions that could be very useful at some point because it can reduce a lot of overwork. But I learned a lot of situations of my colleagues that they were giving me examples. One of the interviews is with one solutions architect manager, Giselle. They were creating actually a solution with generative AI for the customer. And then they were like going to present it. And the customer, when she was talking to that CTO, there was something that was not convincing him, but he was not speaking up about it. So there was the CTO, there was his team, and they were presenting the solution. And she could read him that there was something that they didn't know. So they just went outside, said, ah, let's go have a coffee in a break. And then he was like, look, this something that my team doesn't know. There is going to be a kind of a reorganization, and what you are proposing me, it will not fit that way. And then she was like, okay, no worries. We can come back to you with another solution that is more flexible for how your organization is going to look like. And generative AI will have never known this, because they will never like read the room or understand that this person, there is something that is missing. In the end, the value, even in the technical area, is about the human interactions.
So if I understand well, then one of the skills that's really important for solution architects is relationship management.
Exactly. We talk to the customers, and many times Gen AI can give us a lot of information. But what we bring is the value of asking the right questions.
And how do you do that?
Well, it's part of our experience. Usually, a customer can think, oh, I want to use Gen AI for this solution. But the questions are more like, but what do you really want to use? What do you really want as outcome? And see architecture as a kind of a balance, a trade-off. How much you want to go in imagining high availability, in like putting a lot of redundancy, but at the same time, how much do you want to risk? How much you want the cost to be? So we help to ask the right questions to understand what the customer really wants, what's going to help for their customers, and that's how we ask. And what really is important comes even in kind of a informal conversation. So it's not something that, you know, you can put a list of things you need and then, boom, comes the perfect solution.
Okay, so it's very important to understand what is the business problem, then understand what kind of solutions are available to this, and then based on that, the third thing is then you can look what kind of technology solution can help solve this problem of the customer, or at least support it to become better.
Exactly. And I will give you some links. Like if you go now to this reInvent in YouTube, you have so many customers explaining the different problems from all the different industries and then how they could be solved with artificial intelligence or with other technology.
And how is generative AI helping you as a solution architect?
There are a lot of ways that can help you. So, for example, new experience also with coding. We have solutions like Code Whisperer or Amazon Q, but there are like many others that actually can help you to give you recommendations, to create code for you. So there, I think we should all embrace all the new things that are happening, because it's making us so much more productive. The large language models, they can help us to write better, to be more consistent. I also use Gen AI when I was writing the book to collect information and the conclusion. So my advice will be to the audience of this podcast to look what tasks you are doing in your daily job and think which ones can be automated or augmented. So automated are usually routine tasks, but I also will encourage the audience to see which one can be augmented. For example, a quick app to brainstorm and get more ideas to solve a problem.
And was there one specific task where you thought, oh, I'm so happy that I can now use generative AI?
Well, I'm not a fan of the repetitive task. Everything that helps me do the things faster, I get very happy. Even when I was writing the book, I was using some tools to check the format and so on. It was helping me to write the book much faster. But also in my daily job, like creating documents for coding, all this is helping me. I'm sure like in 6 months, there will be even more apps and more things that we can do. If I have to choose one thing that I will encourage the audience, is partyrock.aws, and you can create your own app. So what I was telling you, brainstorming and whatever you need in your job, you can create an app just by saying, I want to create an app that helps me brainstorm. I put the input, the problem, the stakeholders, and then I have some outcomes. So I will encourage everybody here in the audience to try the multiple apps that are creative, because this is also the way to be ahead of the game and also to save time for yourself.
So PartyRock is a kind of personal assistant.
Yeah, you can create your own app. So you can use your own Gen AI app. You can create it very easy, just put in a sentence. So there are a lot of these kind of applications right now, and they are coming new every week. I think the call out of the book is to say in the end, embrace it to augment your capabilities and to be more efficient. But there is also something very important, that is, you cannot just assume that everything GenAI tells you is correct. In the end, GenAI is telling us what is the most likely outcome. It always needs our own supervision. It's like, as you said, an assistant, or if you have somebody sitting next to you, helping you with ideas, doing things, but in the end, you are the person accountable and you are the person who has to look into it.
So generative AI is a tool that helps us to be more productive, but it doesn't mean that our job will go away, because we still need people who talk with customers and all kind of other things.
Exactly. So there are a lot of jobs that didn't exist years and years ago, even 10 years or 15 years ago. I think what is important is that everybody is looking to upskill and is curious, is trying out. Now you don't need to be like the super coder to try out a new app. There are even apps that you don't need to know how to code. They say the new coding language is English. So I really encourage everybody to try out.
And I also understood that one of the key roles of a solution architect is helping others to develop. So be a kind of career mentor. How do you do that within AWS?
Well, yes, one of our leadership principles at Amazon is hire and develop the best. And everybody is expected to invest time on developing others. We grow together. In practice, many times it's about having mentees, no matter how senior or junior you are. I have seen solutions architects that were just arriving and they were, for example, mentoring some people in universities. We also have a lot of events where we promote diversity or help others in society. So it's very clear that you are not only just working, yes, with the customer, but also you are helping others. And there's when I had a conversation in the book with Ralita, who created kind of a community about the imposter syndrome. And that was very interesting because we were getting to the conclusion that when you are looking for some kind of advice, many times you just need empathy, right? And a person who is listening to you, who can share their own failures with you and you learn from them. And we got to the conclusion that this part will stay very human. We cannot just welcome somebody to the company and tell them, oh, you need help. Log in this page and you talk to a chatbot and helps you.
And helping others develop or being a mentor, it's based on a relationship between the mentor and the mentee. And if you look at that, then trust is really important. How do you build trust?
I think for me, it's the most important thing. Trust is something that you build with time. You have to take care of it because it can be very easy gone. What do you think of this?
I think the same as you. Trust is really important in all relationships. And I think it requires of us a lot of communication skills, which is not easy. You can think that you say something to someone, but then the other one hears something completely different than what you mean. So building trust also means, do you feel that you're on the same wave? If that's not the case, then I think you sometimes have to say, it's not that I don't want to mentor you, but I think it's better if this person helps you further because it's not what I can do for you.
Oh, I love this. I have already, I think, like 10 mentees, so I cannot have more. The way I scale is writing things because, you know, I've written a lot of articles, books. It's like, read all this. And if you have some questions, you tell me. I want to help everybody, but I don't have time. It will not be fair. And I'm also a manager. I have people reporting to me. And I think the communication is super important all the way. We communicate a lot in written form. So we create some documents many times. For example, when we start the meeting, we put like a document, a one page with the purpose, what we want, because we want everybody to read it. And then we start the conversation. What do you think of this?
I think we have a lot of things available that will help us. And some people like to read, so it's better to recommend them a book or a kind of article. Other people, they are more visible. They like more, for instance, videos. So then you can see what kind of videos are available. And I think it's important to understand the person well. If you are a mentor, what are the wants and needs of this mentee? And how can I help to the best I can do? So it's also about active listening. And I think you need to be patient to really understand somebody.
It's very good. It's asking the right questions. That's not going to be automated. So we need to ask the right questions, whether we are like talking to the customers, but also talking with each other. And I also think the miscommunications are often creating so many problems.
Yeah. And if you work in a company, the bottom line is that you add to the revenue. And most of the time, what I saw is there was a lot of communication misunderstandings. So that's why I started Help to Grow Talk, because that's the first thing that you need to do, making sure that you're on the right page, that you have a good communication.
Exactly. It's very linked to what I was saying, that for us as solutions architects, we are not quota-driven. We are not there to sell. It's more to help to understand.
Okay. And the future is always near. So if we look at the role of solutions architect, what will the future look like for them?
I think it's going to be very exciting, because actually it's like a role that is going to help businesses and customers to go into the next stage thanks to new technologies. So I think it will look like we will have less routine tasks and we could focus more on inventing and on creating new solutions. But the human part will stay.
I understand. I suppose I would like to become a solution architect. What would you advise me? Or can I maybe use generative AI to create a learning path for myself?
Well, there are some certifications. AWS has the Solutions Architect certification, which I always encourage to take. There is like the associate and the professional. With the associate, you already see what is it about, right? So I would encourage to look at that to see how is the technology. There are a lot of YouTube videos on what is to be a Solutions Architect at AWS. So I would encourage first to do a bit of research. And that's it. We are always like welcoming great talent.
Okay, we are coming already to the end of the podcast, but is there anything you would like to share?
Yes, I encourage the audience to look into technical roles, because there are a lot coming and it's going to be the innovation, and be curious to learn new things. And if you are not technical, for example, if you are from finance or from HR or from marketing, you should also look how artificial intelligence is actually impacting your area of business and is going to help you to become more like an augmented employee. You are going to be able to deliver more and to be more creative in the same time. And of course, if you're looking for being a solutions architect, I encourage you to have a look at this book about what is to be a solutions architect. They can have a better picture with this book. So any other person of the tech industry that has another technical role, I'm sure they could also get some inspiration of what is going to happen to their own job.
I absolutely agree with you. The book is great if you want to become a solution architect, but also in general for tech roles in the Gen AI time.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for this podcast. I learned a lot.
Yes, exactly. It was good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Women in Big Data podcast. For more information and episodes, subscribe to the show or contact us via datawomen@protonmail.com. That is datawomen@protonmail.com. Tune in next time.